بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, and mothers and fathers in Islam, verily, children, awlad, they are a great ni'mat and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. The ma'soom and innocent nature Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within our children, and the amazing beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within our children, every day of your children's life, you will see a different picture inside him or her. Something new they are doing every single day. This is all the manifestation of the qudrat and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is filled with ayat kareema where du'as are made for pious children. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is making du'a. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wassalam, after reaching such old age, Ya Allah, my hair has gone white. Ya Allah, my bones have gone frail. Ya Allah, my wife is barren. She's reached that age that she cannot give birth anymore. But even then, he is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyiba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had many children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would play with children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take his grandchildren. Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, dono ko is tarah qareeb laate the, unko soongte the. He would bring them close to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would put his blessed nose to their stomachs and their chests, and he would smell them, and he would say, Huma rayhanataya, Allahu Akbar. These grandchildren of mine, they are like my two flowers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me. My dear mothers, fathers, and like I mentioned yesterday, this is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah ta'ala chooses not to give somebody children. But it's natural that everybody has this inclination towards children. So ask those people who don't have children, and they have been trying for a long time, how they look at this bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to those of us with children. So just like any bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not just as simple as, okay, I've had children and that's it. No, because it's a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has huquq. We have responsibilities towards those rights, towards those gifts of Allah. So this gift of children that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is our responsibility. Hence the title, Our Children, Our Responsibility. Nobody else can take the responsibility of nurturing our children, bringing up our children. Yes, for a temporary while they can. Like the ulama-i kiram, the ustads in the madrasa, the teachers at school. Otherwise, the primary and the full responsibility of our children is on our shoulders, my dear brothers and sisters. So let us understand this, that this is a bounty of Allah and there are certain huquq. Yes, parents have huquq that the children must fulfill. But it's not only one-way traffic. It's not only one-way traffic that must our children have to fulfill our rights. No, we must fulfill the rights of our children as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And Ajib, do you know when this responsibility starts? Like we have some youngsters sitting over here. From their age, The responsibility and the rights of our children start from their age. How? Now you've reached the age of puberty. Now you are responsible for your a'mal. The way you will act today, the sins you may do, even if you do tawbah from them later on, the sins you may commit, now you've reached the age of puberty, will have an effect and impact on those around you. We learn from one verse of Surah Al-Kahf, Mufassirin mention on there, look at this, that sometimes a sin or a good deed somebody has done, 7 generations later, that sin or good deed can still have an impact on your progeny. 7 generations later, Allahu Akbar. So, ulama explained that from when a person is young, he has to now become responsible and he must understand the way I act, although I'm not even married right now, but later on it can have an impact on my children. Ulama have explained, another right of our children is that we find the right spouse, we find the right parent for our children. This is also their right. But your children haven't even come into this world yet because you are not even married. But ulama explain that the man should look for a decent woman to marry. Not just somebody with beauty. Not just somebody who's got a lot of money to her name. No. Ideally look for a woman with deen, because when this woman will have deen inside of her, then she will bring deen into your children as well. And when this man that you have in mind, this prospect, who you are thinking that, do I see a relationship with this person? Do I see a future with this person? Your parents have introduced you, showed you somebody. So first of all, ask yourself that, has this person got deen? If they do not have this sense of fulfilling the responsibility, the hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you think they will fulfill your hukuk? How do you think they will fulfill your hukuk? One pious person says that, look in your friend circle. If you see somebody who does not fulfill the rights of Allah, he is not loyal, she is not loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let go of their friendship, because the time will come when they will become disloyal to you as well. If they are not loyal to their creator, how do you expect them to be loyal to somebody they only know for a couple of years, for a few years? So this is a right of our children as well, that when we look to get married, then we look for somebody who we can see that this looks like a decent human being, a good individual. He or she is not just worried about their career. He or she is just not worried about, "Bas, I want my name to shine in the community because I will have lots and lots of money. I will have lots of properties to my name. Oh, bas, I am somebody with a high status." No. Will this person fulfill the responsibilities at home or not? You know, we want good children. We want good children. It's not going to happen just by dreaming about good children. If I ask somebody, okay, I'll ask one brother, I'll ask somebody else, I'll ask somebody else, you know, what are your day-to-day responsibilities? So he says, yes, in the morning, obviously Fajr, and you know, let's put the deeni responsibilities to the side. So he says, yes, I have to get up this time, I have to drop the children to school, from there I have to go to work. When I come back from work, then I rest, etc. Then I have to go and pick up my children from madrasa. And, you know, when I get home, then, you know, I have to, you know, carry out this, I have to do this cleaning, I have to get this done, and I go to sleep. Nobody has this as a duty in their day-to-day life, that I need to spend time with my children. You know, generally I'm looking out for them anyway, but this time is our family time. This time is our family time. Now, even food time, because now we have the mic. Before it used to be, the food used to get cooked, it used to be warm, everybody used to come and eat together. Now we have the fridge, now we have the microwave. So everyone's thinking, I don't want to sit with everybody else. I want to live my own life. Like I said yesterday, many of us, we are living like tenants and lodgers in our parents' houses. So even at food time, it's not a family time anymore. Whereas it was such a nice time for everybody to get together, feed one another, treat one another, be nice to one another, and increase the muhabbat in the family. So if you want good children, pious children, and your children are your legacy, your children are your legacy. You could be a multimillionaire today, and your children are out there on the streets. They are troubling others, they are harassing others, they are getting other people involved into crime as well. Your bank account may look very respectable to you, but ask the people how much respect they have in your heart. They say, this guy is an ajeeb person. All he's worried about is just multiplying that bank account even more. All he's worried about is just every new car that comes out, he should be the first person to be seen with it. But he has no fikr, no concern, no worry, no sense of responsibility towards his wife, no sense of responsibility towards his children. Allahu Akbar. So remember this, that you want good children, it's not just going to happen by dreaming about this. It's not just going to happen by, you know, just speaking about this. Rather, every era have their challenges. So maybe when our parents came into, you know, these countries, their challenges was poverty. They had to put up with poverty. By har zamana ka alag alag imtihan hota hai. Now, because our parents are well set, many of us, and poverty is not an issue, it's not a test for us anymore. And those of us who are married, one of the biggest challenges. One of the biggest challenges, because on one side we want something for our children, and on the other side there are many, many forces. Many, many forces, many, many challenges where we are now forced to compromise the qualities that and the values that we want within our children. Compromise the identity that you wish and desire for your children. So one of the biggest challenges for us Muslims and us parents is our children, our next generation. This is one of the biggest responsibilities. And this is something that again and again we need to discuss. Again and again we should study ways of how can I improve the way I bring up my children? How can I improve my relationship with my children? Allahu Akbar. So many of you will take out time to go out to the restaurants with your friends. You will take out time to go to certain places with your friends. How much time do we take out? No, this is my family time. This is the time I need to spend with my children. I need to increase love for with my children. We need to increase our relationship. It's not bus. I've brought them into this world and bus, it's her responsibility. Or she says, oh, I earn more, so I will go work, and it's his responsibility. It doesn't work like this, my dear brothers and sisters. So understand this, that this is a responsibility, and physically and practically, I will need to look for ways to bond with my family and bond with my children. And when I do this from a young age, all of this must start from a young age. All of this must start from a young age. Now, you've never woken up your child for Fajr before. And now he's reached the age of 13, you're saying, go better, you go to the masjid, I'm going to sleep right now. I just woke up to wake you up. You don't say, Ajib. What is Fajr? You've never told me about this thing all these years. And now all of a sudden you're forcing me out of the bed and you're saying, go. When the son is young, he looks at mom, he looks at dad, 1 year old, 2 years old, there's no difference between mom and dad because both have no beard. There's no difference between mom. And now when he reaches the age of his beta, dari rakhni chahiye. Ye sunnat-e rasool hai sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should grow your beard. I say, dad, all these years you and mom have always looked the same. Now you're telling me that I should grow my beard. And now I should look different. So these things we will have to start doing from a young age. And this is the biggest deception. To the fathers, to the mothers, this is the biggest deception, that we live one lifestyle and we want a different lifestyle for our children. We live one lifestyle of sin. We live one lifestyle of violating the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live one lifestyle of being rough in our speech, rough in our approach, but we want our children to become like angels. That's not going to happen as well. It's like the dad, he's got a cigarette in his mouth and saying, beta, cigarette nahi peeni chahiye, chichis nahi hai. Do you really see that working? Do you really see that working? So we, number one, we must live as examples for our children. Our children see the way we talk. Our children see our body language. Our children see the way we conduct ourselves with others. Our children see the determination and the interest that we have towards deen. And then, like that, they will also bring those interests into their lives as well. The dad doesn't need to keep telling the child, beta, namaz parho, namaz parho, namaz parho. From a young age, when that child, when that daughter, when that son sees that so many times my mother gets out the musalla, she prays namaz. So many times my dad goes to the masjid, automatically, beta, papa, can I come to the masjid? Dad, I want to come to the masjid with you. When the mom is praying, you don't need to say, beta, come and pray. Once they're seeing that this is something interesting for our parents, this is something that our parents find solace, peace, tranquility in, then they will also start joining the parents automatically as well. So we must live as an example for our children. Another right of our children, we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when husband and wife intend to make love, to bring a children into the world, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us a dua. That when husband and wife intend to meet, to start this procedure, to make this process, then they make this dua, Allahumma jannibna shaytan, wa jannib shaytan ma razaqtana. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised something, on the condition, provided that you and I, we pray this dua with the right conviction and the right yaqeen, then it's impossible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let the promise of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to waste. Look at the promise. He says, when husband and wife meet one another and they pray this dua, Allahumma jannibna shaytan, O Allah, save us, preserve us from shaytan, wa jannibi shaytan ma razaqtana, and save shaytan, and do not allow shaytan to have power, do not allow shaytan to influence that thing that you will grant us, i.e. children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lam yadurruhu shaytanun abada." Shaytan will never have an influence on that child. And muhaddithin explain that. What does it mean over here? That waswasa, yes, they will continue having this influence on our children. But to take full control of our children, this will never happen. I.e., to make our children leave their religion, this will never ever happen. Allahu Akbar. This is a medicine and prescription the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has showed us. Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannibish shaytan ma razaqtana. My dear brothers and sisters, let us not be fooled. Let us not be fooled just because sometimes our teenage children come to us for the Jumu'ah prayer. Just because every now and then our children may wear the scarf, may wear a topi, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and may Allah ta'ala save us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on inside here and what is going on inside here. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Many years ago, when Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to travel the west, he used to go there and he used to tell the people, okay, you have left your homeland with this in mind, that when we will move to England, when we will move to Europe, when we will move to USA, when we will move to Canada, Allah ta'ala will give us a better livelihood. He said, you have left your homelands with the intention and with the quest of better livelihood. Let it not be that in you, in your search for dunya, you lose the deen of your children. And he used to say, those days, 20 years ago, he used to say, 20, 25, 30 years ago, he used to say, ke ye irtidad ka door hai. This is the time when people are swiftly leaving the fold of Islam. Leaving the fold of Islam. So this is such a big concern we should have. Such a big concern we should have that hifz-e iman, that the iman of our children must remain preserved. The iman of our children must remain preserved. Allahu Akbar. Say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, any calamity, we don't want calamity, but if you send calamities our way, any calamity, inshallah, we will be able to endure it. But oh Allah, do not test us with our iman. And do not test us with the iman of our children. May those two, we live our whole lives, imagine. We live our whole lives striving for the objectives that we have in life. And then we find out one day that our children have left the fold of Islam. Wahan aap Imam Sahib ke paas le jayenge, he's going to say, now you want to bring him to me? Now you want to bring him? All these years when he was going off track, you didn't want to listen. When we were giving you nasihat, you didn't want to take it on board. When we were showing you, when we were guiding you, you didn't want to take that guidance on board. Now look, they have left the fold of Islam. And once they leave the fold of Islam, na'udhu billah, it's so disgusting to even bring on our tongues. Imagine bhi nahi karna chahte, but it's a reality. It's a reality. Once this happens, na'udhu billah, when somebody has been so badly influenced by shaitan and the environment around them, very seldom do they ever want to listen to anybody. Bas, khatam Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a veil over their hearts. Allah ta'ala will put a parda over their ears. They cannot hear the haq anymore. They cannot understand and perceive the haq anymore. So this dua is also from the huquq of our children, that we read this dua so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can safeguard the iman as well. You know, when we talk about tarbiyat of the children, it does seem difficult. It's a very big challenge without a doubt. But we must also understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given much ajr on this as well. Hakim ul-Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi has narrated a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a mother feeds her child, breastfeeds her child, it's not easy. Sometimes you've just had a long day, you've gone to sleep, and half an hour later the child wakes up because the child wants to feed. And then he goes to sleep again, and again the child wakes up again. The mother, she's cooking on one side, the baby is crying. He or she needs a feed. Again, you get on with something else, the baby is crying. The mother is driving somewhere, the baby is crying at the back. Feed. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when a mother feeds her child, breastfeeds her child, then every sip that that child takes of milk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards that mother as if she is standing on the border of the Muslim lands, defending the Muslim lands from harm. Because look at the mother. Her life is now controlled by the child. She wants to live her own life, she can't. Her life evolves around that child. Just like somebody who is guarding the Muslim lands, he or she is always on guard. You know, no harm should come to the Muslim lands. Always on defense. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, at each time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her that reward. In another hadith, every time the child takes milk from the mother, after the mother finishes feeding, the angel comes and like giving shabashi, pats the mother on the back and says that you are so fortunate. After this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your past sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that from that period that the mother brings the child into this world, and while she is feeding the child, until the weaning period when she finishes feeding the child, if the mother loses her life in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant her the maqam of a shaheed. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha says, one day I was at home, somebody knocked on the door, I opened the door, it was a woman with two young children. Two young daughters. And she said that, Ma Aisha, we have nothing in the house. Do you have anything that I can just somehow give some sort of comfort to the stomachs of my children? Allahu Akbar. Well, she didn't even ask for the children, but she said, give us some sort of food, something. But faqa and hunger and poverty used to be in the house of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself as well. So as Aisha radiallahu anha says that, no, there was nothing inside the house but one khajur we had left. One khajur. So he said, I gave it to this woman. And I was observing what this woman will do with the child, with the khajur. She splits that khajur in half. One half for one child, one half for another child. Allahu Akbar. Look at the compassion that our parents have in their hearts for us. This mother went with her children. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha says, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home, she narrated this incident. Ya Rasulullah, somebody came at our door. Ya Rasulullah, they were poor. They asked, Ya Rasulullah, all I found in the house was one khajur as well. And Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I gave this khajur to them. This is what that mother did. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever is tested with these two, whoever is tested with any daughters, meaning whoever is given daughters by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is good towards them, he is compassionate towards them, he fulfills the right of them, then they will become a shield for him tomorrow from the fire of Jahannam. The children will become a shield for the parents tomorrow from the fire of Jahannam. So yes, it is very difficult, but at the same time, the ajr and the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. And on the other side, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ إِسْتَرْعَ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً فَلَمْ يَحُتْهَا بِنَصِيحَةٍ إِلَّا لَمْ يَجِدُ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ That there is no one from the Muslims whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes responsible over somebody else. Kullukum ra'in. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are responsible for our subordinates. We are responsible for our subjects, those people underneath us. The amir is responsible for his ra'iyat. The imam is responsible for his qawm, for his musallis. The father is responsible for his children. So whomsoever is given a responsibility of somebody else and he does not treat them with nasihat, wo unke saath kherkhahi ka muamala nahi karta hai, he does not treat them well, he does not fulfill their rights, then this person will not enter into Jannah. This person will not even smell the fragrance and aroma of Jannah. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the aroma of Jannah can be smelled from a very, very far distance. Everybody, when there's a barbecue going on, from nearly a mile away, from 100 meters away, we can smell the barbecue is taking place. So kya Jannat mein itni boo nahi hai, Jannat mein itni quwwat nahi hai, ke Jannat ki boo kitne hazaro mil se sunga ja sakta hai. So Jannat, when this is the case of a barbecue, then imagine when Jannat, When we are close to Jannah, then Jannah must be smelling so nice that from thousands and thousands of miles away, a person will be able to smell Jannah. But this person will be deprived of that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a responsibility, he did not fulfill that responsibility. Another right our ulama have mentioned with regards to our children is giving them good names. And somebody may be sitting over here, okay, or what now, I've had my children, I've given them their names. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would at times, if he saw that somebody has kept a wrong name, he would change the name. Why? Names have a big impact on us. Naam ka bada asar padta hai us aadmi par. Names have a big impact on us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us through his teaching that keep good names for your children. Keep the names of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Ulama explain, keep the names of the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. A pious person who has come in the past, keep their names. Rabia Bisriya. Keep good names so that the athar and the impact of that pious person, that Sahabi, that Nabi alayhi salam who has passed, then their good character can also wipe on our children as well. Ajkal, what's the dilemma today? The problem we have today is everybody wants to keep unique names. My son, my daughter should be given such a name that nobody else has. Fine, but at least try and find there are still hundreds and thousands of people in history that have passed. Prophets that have passed that you can use their names, but no. They will go and find the name. Problem number one, it has a very bad meaning to that name. They don't know. But they just went and searched, like we have in England, the Muslim directory. Or like you'll go on the internet, but Islamic names, and you don't know who's compiled this book. Who's compiled the article? But any name that looks sounds good inside there, you'll take it. Go to the ulama kiram and ask for good names. Go to the ulama kiram and ask that this name I want to name my child with, what meaning does it have? Some names have no meaning. Mufti Sayyid Palampuri Sayyidina Barakatum, when he came to England once, he mentioned this story that one person, they kept their daughter's name Sharrul Bariya. Sharrul Bariya. So Mufti Sayyid Palampuri Sahib asked, "Bhai, you know, what name have you kept for your child?" So they said, "No, we went through the Quran and we said we want to look for such a name from the glorious Quran that nobody else has." So Mufti Sayyid Palampuri Sahib said, "Bhai, theek hai, you went through the Quran like this. So only a couple of lines before that, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, Khairul Bariya. Bhai, Sharrul Bariya means the worst of the creation." So, unhone apne bachchi ka naam rakha Sharrul Bariya. They named their daughter Sharrul Bariya. So, Mufti Sahib said, "Bhai, couldn't you just look two lines before that in the Quran in Suratul Bayyina? Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, 'Ulaika hum Khairul Bariya.'" So, we make big mistakes in this regard. If we have given, you know, unmeaningful names to our children, or we have given bad names to our children, find that from the ulama kiram, change their names, because names have a big impact on our children. To achhe achhe naam rakhne chahiye. Keep good names for our children. And then ulama have explained many hukuk, spending on our children, not to be miserly in spending with our children. Many hukuk, time will not permit, but we want to concentrate on those, you know, more related to the tarbiyat side of it. So, us as parents should have this in mind that we need to do the full tarbiyat of our children. Full tarbiyat. Dini tarbiyat, Islamic upbringing, good dunyawi tarbiyat as well. Good worldly upbringing as well. We want to equip our children with good life skills as well. We want to equip our children with good education as well. So not only do they become good Muslims, they become good citizens. And they become good people and live as example for the people around them. They become respectable people in the community. So when it comes to the deeni tarbiyat, first of all, like I was saying before, our fikr should be there for the iman. For the iman. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you and I in the Quran, "Am kuntum shuhada idh hadara Yaqub al-maut?" Oh people, were you present when Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam was faced with the pangs of death? We were not present. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let me tell you what happened. "Am kuntum shuhada idh hadara Yaqub al-maut idh qala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di." Look, at the time of death, Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, his children are prophets as well. But Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, what is he saying? Look after your mother like this, look after your children like this, do this with our properties, do this with our house. Nay, maut ke waqt, at the time of death, he is asking and testing their iman. Bhai, this was the mission of my life. Okay, iman stays in my life, iman stays in the life of others around. So, main zara dekh lu ke bhai jaate jaate zara bachchon mein ye mission kamyab hua hai ya nahi. So he asked, O my dear children, ma ta'buduna min ba'di? What will you worship after me? Who will you worship after me? So they said, oh, our dear father, na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha aba'ika Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq ilahun wahida. We will bring and keep our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're testing their iman. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, he was a very wise person, so accepted, so beloved in the court of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates his nasiha and his advices in the glorious Quran. Allah ta'ala quotes them. So Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam is giving a lesson to his child. But look here. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. Sometimes we just think, you know, sometimes this is a very big mistake many of us are making. We just get angry at our children. We are, you know, we're not responsible. You know, we just react. It's a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we don't plan. So if our child does something wrong, we don't plan. My son has done this wrong today. Tomorrow when we are going out, tomorrow on the way to school, you know, tomorrow when I'm picking them up from madrasa, I will sit down with him for a while and say, beta, you done this yesterday. Huh? I didn't want to just address it straight away. I thought, let time pass. Maybe you might rectify yourself. Maybe you yourself may realize. Sometimes we have to give our children the chance themselves to realize that they have made a mistake. You know, everybody has a conscience. So if you see your child has spoken rudely to the mother, then Allah has put that conscience inside of him and her as well. So maybe they will come to realization themselves, I shouldn't have spoken like this to my mother. But if they don't, then sometimes you don't have to address it straight away. Because many of us, when we address it, we will address it with anger. So now we are not doing it out of tarbiyah, out of care for our children, out of concern for our children. It's but out of anger, whatever comes into our mind, we'll say it. And imagine if you dealt with the problem like this. Okay, my wife told my son, Kabida, it's namaz time, pray. He didn't pray. Chalo, today I will open up Fazaila A'mal. I will find some warnings that if a person doesn't pray, this will happen to him. And then tomorrow, I will share it with my children. Oh, I saw this deficiency that I told my son, Kabida, you know, you're 15, 16, you have your own saving now. When you come for Jummah, put some money in the masjid. He didn't. So you saw, okay, I was trying to do his tarbiyah that he spends in the path of Allah, but he didn't. So let me tonight, when we sit for our ta'aleem, I will purposely look beforehand, find a good article on spending in the path of Allah. Now when I will share it, look, everybody has an ego today. Everyone has a very big ego today, bigger than shaitan sometimes our ego is. And our ego will not allow us to accept haq. So even our children, they have a very big ego. Mujhe kuch nahi kehna chahiye. You shouldn't say anything to me. So one is they don't want you to tell them anything anyway. Then imagine how badly they will take it when you shout at them. Do you know why our children run away from us? Because ye ab hame apna dushman samajhte hai. Children look at us like their enemies because the way we deal with them. You were there, you saw your child doing something wrong in the madrasa, outside of school. Arey, he's got his friends around him. He doesn't want to be told right now because you will attack his ego. His respect is a very big thing for him. So one is, but immediately you pounce. When you pounce immediately, you don't think for yourself as well. And many a times you are not reprimanding your child. You have to check your intention sometimes. Because the way our intention will be, Allah will put that kind of athar, that kind of effect in our tarbiyat as well. So if our intention was there, ki yaar, he has disobeyed Allah, yeah, achi cheez nahi hai, achi baat nahi hai. So when you have that fikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that impact in your words. And sometimes it's not, you don't care whether your children are praying or not. What do you care about? Community mein mein log ko kehna chahiye, logo ko ye kehna chahiye, fulan bada acha aadmi hai, dekho uske sab bachche namaz mein bhi uske saath aate hai. Fark samajh mein aya? Hey, you are not worried that my child should not use vulgar language. But you're worried that if my child speaks to somebody inappropriately, what will people say? Why, are you living for people? Are you nurturing your children for people? Or are you nurturing them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because it's a responsibility. So now many a times you are telling them off because of your ego, because of your respect, because what you're worried about what others will say. Hence our tarbiyat has no impact on them. So look at, sometimes you have to tell your children off in front of others, depending on the mistake. But if you make it an everyday thing, that the only time you tell them off, you snap at them. Only time you tell them off, you shout at them. It's not going to have a good impact. So you have to plan the tarbiyat as well, of how you will do tarbiyat. So look over here. I was saying, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Luqman, he sent this message to his child, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ, and he was giving him some advice. Luqman alayhi salam was giving him some advice. From here we understand that tarbiyat is not just done on a passing comment. Better don't do this. You're busy on your phone. Better don't do this. You're busy getting ready. Better don't do this. It's not passing comment. That's not tarbiyat. وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. You have to sit down and have a counseling session with them sometimes. Take out time. وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. He was advising him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the fact that when he will say it, and we, the readers of the Quran, will realize that he gave him some nasihat, it was apparent. But Allah made it a point so that you and I can understand this as well. Sometimes on the way to school, you can tell your children something. Sometimes they've said, beta, if you don't mind, today after Isha, can you come to the living room? I want to speak to you for a while. Look, you have to set the scene. You know, beta, come over here. Beta, you know, put your hand around him. Betty, come over here. You know, there's so many other ways you have to adopt. You have to adopt so many different ways. You know, look how, you know, how hip, you know, we're like hypocrites now. Look at the way we talk to other children. Riyaz bhai ke bete milenge to, oh, beta, 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 beta. And with your child, you're like a lion. Ye bhi sahi nahi hai. Who deserves more love? Others' children or your children? So, dusro ke saath, just to show I'm a very good person, very kind person, sweet bhi denge, pesa bhi denge, and to your own children, nothing. No love, no compassion towards them. So that is very wrong as well. So look, talking about it again, that fikr for deen. So Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam said, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Do not ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look, iman, fikr about the iman, dua for the iman, nasihat to them so that they build their iman. This is very, very important. Another thing, create the zeal for deen inside of your children. Create the zeal for deen inside of the children. Talk to them about the masjid. Talk to them about Allah. Talk to them about the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. So much material is out there in the markets now. Good, authentic material. You know, why do you have to read Harry Potter to them when putting them to sleep? Get a good kitab on stories of the prophets, stories for children. So many good kitabs are out there. Good material is out there. Like I said, if you're a university lecturer, you will plan. Why? Because you have this duty to lecture inside the university. So if you understood that this is a duty, that I have to give good counseling to my children, you will take out time to prepare your lecture towards them as well. Prepare what nasihat you want to give to them as well. And before I forget, ta'aleem is so important in our houses. We must bring ta'aleem into our houses. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but every day sit down and share some good advice. Everybody, how can it be? How can it be that like rain, every day you send down one drop into the heart of your child about Allah, about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the Quran, about Deen Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let your efforts go to waste? Kaise ho sakta hai? So bring ta'aleem into our houses. Ta'aleem is so important. Through ta'aleem, you can solve so many problems. So bring ta'aleem into our houses. Create the zeal inside of them for the masjid. You know, it's not just enough, I've enrolled my son into Islamic school, to bus now all the Islamic responsibility, they will take care of it. But how much time will they have? And in 1 hour, they have to deal with 20 children, 30 children, because you will, if the madrasa increases the hours, you will say, no, don't do this, it's too much for us. So in 1 hour, they have to deal with so many children. So 2 hours they have for 30 children, 20 children, divide 2 hours by 20, how much time will they get with your child? So just because you have put them, yes, this is their haq, that you find a good education, dini education, dunyavi education, you find good education, it's their haq. But now also keep an eye on what they are studying, keep an eye on their progress, talk to their ustads. Over 50%, without exaggeration, maybe 70-80% of parents whose children go to high school and universities don't know what degree and career their children are pursuing. Bas khush ho jate ki ha mera beta university jaye, bhai kya study kar raha hai, are bhai ja rahe kuch kar rahe, har roz homework bhi karte hain, dekho. And again on this point as well, homework, you know, now the world has become such ke, you know, we are very sensitive about the rights of others, maybe sometimes oversensitive. You can't do this, you have to do this, you have to allow your children to be like this. So all those rights have brought so much ease on the next generation. So do you think then schools will still be allowed to give your children so much homework? Okay, in the April break as well, every day they are doing homework. You know, do you really think that the schools will itne farig hai ke bas homework hi dete rahenge? Nahi, homework is an excuse for them to hide inside of their bedrooms. Okay, so I give you a test for yourselves. 1 year, keep the computer, laptop inside their bedroom. See how much homework they have. Next year, bring the laptop, computer downstairs in the dining room. Downstairs where everybody can see that screen, what everybody else is doing. Do that, and then see how much homework they have. Sahi ya nahi? So don't just bust, because our children say to us, "Bhai, look, at the end of the day, look, shaitan is with everybody. And shaitan wo rah marega, he will find a way to take somebody off the path." So many a times our children, they are just saying this, using this excuse of homework. Because they know that you will say, "Better come and help me with cooking, better help me with cooking, or mom homework." Because they know homework is something that you'll say, "Okay, fine, we can't compromise on this, let them do it." And from there, from that 1 whole hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour will be homework, and everything else will just be social media and bus surfing around on what side of the world Allah knows best. So keeping an eye on our children as well is part of their tarbiyat, is part of their haqq. Look how much the, you know, time does not permit. I only have 10 minutes left, but I want to share with you some examples. You know, when Sayyidina, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, you know, look at the zeal the mother had of Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, ki mere bete ko achhi tarbiyat milni chahiye, mere bete ko deen se mahroom nahi karna chahiye, you know, I want my child to get good Islamic upbringing. So look at her jazba, and what was her house and financial condition, you can understand from this sentence. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Ya Rasulullah, we love you. We love you more than our own parents, our own children. Ya Rasulullah, there is not a single house from the Ansar, but they have gifted you something out of love. But Ya Rasulullah, I have nothing in my house that I can give to you. Ya Rasulullah, there is nothing that I have to give for you, only this one child that I have. Ya Rasulullah, I want to gift him to you in your khidmat. Please accept him from me." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, 9-year-old, 10-year-old Anas radiallahu anhu is given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how well the tarbiyat of the mother must have been, that even Anas radiallahu anhu says that khadamtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 sinin. For 10 years I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I made every effort to make sure I did not annoy the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever instructions were given to me, I made every effort to carry them out properly, that in 10 years the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never rebuked me. He never reprimanded me. He never even said to me, "Lima sana'ata," like, "Why did you do it like this for? Or why did you do this for?" For 10 years, this was the tarbiyat of the mother. Allahu Akbar. So create that zeal within our children, that we connect them to the masjids, we give them good education. And again, it has to start from a young age. Better, what will you do when you get older? Better, become hafiz of the Quran. Better, what will you do when you get older? Better, become alim. Better, what will you do when you get older? Better, become a good doctor. Better, become a responsible person. So deeni fikr. Worry about the deeni tarbiyat as well. And also worry about the dunyawi tarbiyat as well. Dunyawi tarbiyat meaning good values. They bring good values into their lives. For example, they adopt respecting their elders. They adopt care towards the young ones. Alimiya sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, ki hamare ghar mein ek nokar hua karta tha. We used to have a worker in the house. And sometimes I would talk a bit rudely or in a rough manner to him. So my mother would take me to the side and say, "Beta, is tarah inke saath nahi bolna chahiye. Nokar, what worth do those people have who are just working in the houses on meager wages? They come to the houses, not here, but in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. This is the culture over there. But no, even him." The mother would nurture Sayyidina Alimiya rahmatullahi alayhi, and she would say, "Beta, this is not the way we should talk to them. You know, bring this values inside of them, that you only ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't just go around asking from people." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wazhad fima inda nas, yuhibbuka nas." You know, be a bit reserved. Don't don't have inclination for what other people have. Understand? Okay, if this jubba has been given to me, it's because Allah wanted me to have it. My eyes shouldn't stretch towards His bounty and His bounty and His job, and He has got this and He has got this and I haven't got everything. Because today you will say, oh, Muhibbullah, can I borrow this from you? Tomorrow you will say, Ibrahim, can I borrow this from you? Slowly, slowly people will run away from you. So bring this into our children as well. Okay, what Allah has given to us, beti, what Allah has given to us, suffice on that. Be happy with that. Izhad fima inda nas, yuhibbuka nas. One story is very famous, that the father, out of tarbiyah for the child, told the mother that whatever the child asks from you, don't give it to him. Whatever the child asks from you, don't give it to her. Doesn't mean you deprive him. If he wants food, if he wants a sweet, then get it and hide it somewhere. Hide it somewhere. Then when the child asks from you, say, beta, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and make dua to Allah. So he is small child, but making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a young age. And then the mother would say, go over there. Maybe Allah has put it over there. And he will go and he would find that thing over there. So one day the mother forgot to put the roti for the child at home. So the child came back from school and he realized that the roti is not there in its normal place. So what, did he go looking for the neighbor? Did he go asking next door? He had got the tarbiyat. You know, everything asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, the mother had not hidden the roti today. But when the father came home later on, Kibita, what happened? Have you eaten today? He said, yes, I have eaten. Where did you get the roti from? He says, no, where mom normally keeps the roti, it wasn't there. So I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqeen manu mera dosto, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the dua of this child, Allah provided from the ghaib. Allah provided from the ghaib. And that father was so happy. Okay, this is exactly what I wanted from my son. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is a zahid fi dunya. His son Abdullah ibn Umar was a zahid fi dunya. No inclination towards the dunya. Bas, good clothes, good food, no inclination. Sayyidina Abdullah, the son of Umar, his son Sayyidina Salim rahmatullahi alayh, zahid fi dunya. So Sayyidina Salim rahmatullahi alayh was in Hajj in Makkah Mukarrama, and from them, from the Umayyad Khalifas, Sulaiman ibn Malik, he came from Damascus. And when he left Damascus, he's the Khalifa of the time. He bought so many gifts that when I go for Hajj, I will spend on the people of Makkah Mukarramah. I will spend on the people of Makkah Mukarramah. So he went, he sat inside the Haram Sharif, and as he's sitting there, he realizes that the grandson of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Salim rahmatullahi alayhi, is doing tawaf. His ripped shoes were in his hand, ripped garments, not worth anything. So whilst he was doing tawaf, Sulaiman Khalifa went to Salim rahmatullahi alayhi and said, is there anything you need from me? I am Khalifatul Muslimin. Is there anything you need from me? I will grant it to you. While tawaf is going on, Khalifa ko bas barjasta jawab de diya. Tumhe sharam nahi aati hai? Don't you have any shame? We are in the house of Allah, and from in the house of Allah, you want me to ask from ghayrullah? You want me to ask from other than Allah? Go away from me. With respect, Sulaiman went away. And he kept an eye on Salim rahmatullah alayhi, that when he left the haram, he went to him and he said that, Salim, when we were inside the haram, you said that you didn't want to ask from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we are outside of the haram. Tell me, is there any need of yours I can fulfill? What need are you talking about? A need for deen, a need for the akhirah, or a need of this world? He says, no, a need of this world, because a need of the akhirah can only be sought and taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the answer of Salim. Tarbiyat of their parents, don't have this inclination towards this world. And yes, it may be an extreme example for some of us, but at least we can instill some sort of values in our children. So Salim rahmatullah alayhi says, acha, you are offering me something from this world. He says, ek baat sun lo, wallah. He said, by Allah, I have never ever asked a need of this world from that being who owns this world. Then how can I ask a need of this world from that being who does not even own this world? The world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, these good qualities bring them into our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach his child, Ya ghulam, sammillah, wa kul bi yameenik, wa kul mimma yaleek. Luqman alayhi salam is saying the Quran, wa idh qala luqmanu, ya bunayya la tushrik, ya bunayya aqimis salata, wa'mur bil ma'roof, wanha anil munkar, wasbir ala ma asaba. All these good etiquettes, good qualities, this we need to bring into our children as well. And, you know, finishing off now, this is very important that we have a balance between a work life and family life. Sometimes we get carried away too much with the work life and other responsibilities. We have no time to appreciate our children. This is very important as well. Another very important thing is husband and wife should not quarrel in front of the children. Because when husband and wife will quarrel, and when you quarrel, you're trying to put the other person down. So husband will defame the mother, the wife, really badly. How much respect will the children have for the mother? The children will think, oh, if dad can speak to mom like that, we can speak to mom like that as well. And now because mom is at home, she needs to take revenge, she needs to worry about her respect. So now she starts telling her children, your dad is like this, your dad is like this, your dad is like this. So now both mom and dad have no weight, no value in the hearts of their children. So this is very, very bad. We need to refrain from this as well. And lastly, I will finish that we make dua for our children. We make dua for our children. This mother of Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu came. Now when he is in the khidmah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited her house. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu also went as well. Ya Rasulullah, I have one special request. What request do you have? He said, Khuwaydimuka Anas, your small khadim Anas, make dua for him. Make dua for him. So look, you take your children to buzrugs, to pious people, to ulama kiram. Make dua for our children. Tell our children, the salam to them. Instill in the hearts of our children love for the ulama kiram. Because our children are so used to seeing us gossiping, backbiting, slandering, talking bad about the ulama kiram. They have no respect in their hearts for the ulama kiram as well now. Now nobody wants to become an imam because they're saying, Dad, you, whenever you're with our uncles, you're always talking bad about the imam. And you want me to become the imam of the masjid? So look, this is very, very important as well. Mawlana Alimiya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, when I was studying, I wrote a letter to my mother. She wrote back to me in the letter. And she said, Alimiya, study hard, please. You are in madrasa, study hard. I want you to become a big alim. It's my bad kismati. It's unfortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only given me one child. Otherwise, my dream was that if Allah ta'ala gave me 100 children, all 100 of them, I would have put them in their path. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only given me one child, better I pray to Allah that Allah ta'ala take the work of 100 alims from you. And ask the ulama, Mawlana Alimiya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh did not fulfill the role of 100. Thousands of alim Mawlana Alimiya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he played the role of thousands of ulama kiram. So my dear brothers, make dua for them. Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayh, he was blind at young age. Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayh, look at the achievements he has done. His kitab, As-Sahhul Kutub Ba'da Kitabillah, the most authentic kitab after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was blind. But it was due to the dua of his mother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned his eyesight. So make dua for our children. Make dua, get others to make dua for our children as well. And don't give up. This is the last point, that don't give up. Many of us, we're having big challenges with our children right now. And we tend to give up. So when you're having challenges in your business, do you give up? When you're having challenges in your business, you will go talk to this advisor, that advisor. Go to him, how can I, what can I do, what products can I change, what shall I bring into the market? You think of different ways to solve the problem. So all you're doing is just, oh, my son is not listening, I'm telling him he's not listening, I'm telling her he's not listening. Think of different ways. Go and talk to the experts, talk to other people, get other people to talk to your children. Do everything you can, my dear brothers. I will finish on this. Look at the analogy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the glorious Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save yourselves and your children and your families from the fire of Jahannam. But Allah doesn't say qu anfusakum wa ahlikum Jahannam. Mufti Shafi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says Allah ta'ala could have said over here, save yourselves and your family from Jahannam. But he uses the word nar. Nar is used for Jahannam. Nar is used for the fire of this world as well. And Mufti Shafi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our attention towards this fact. That imagine you left the bayan right now and you went home and you saw your flat is on fire. Your house is on fire. What will you do? Okay, better come out, better come out, better come out. And what would you say after better is not listening, so you let him die? He said, you will do anything and everything you can to save your family from the fire of this world. So Mufti Shafi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah says, why do we not exert every effort to save us and our families from the fire of Jahannam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me and everybody else the tawfiq to do amal on these few words and advices that were shared with us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.